And this is another one of these places where people say it's a contradiction in the Bible. And it's not. Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. Now, what, listen closely. I got to read this. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Then the next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. There are some people who want to find contradictions in the Bible, and this is one they grasp hold onto. It's not a contradiction. It just means there's a different way to handle different people, even a fool to a fool. In Ruckman's Proverbs commentary, he says, the apparent contradiction does not exist. You are to answer some men one way, other men you are to answer another way. A fool is a fool, but not all fools are the same. In other words, well, there's somebody, some people who, social media is a very easy place to demonstrate this. And you have these guys come on there, and they're just filthy mouth, profane, nasty, and all that, and belligerent, everything. Block. That's it. I mean, there's no reason. Facebook and Twitter and these guys who are blocking conservatives and banning conservatives and acting like it's because we violated their communist standards. Listen, it is because we are violating their communist standards. It's not because of us violating community standards. They're just trying to silence those they disagree with. The reality is they have an inbuilt system where if someone comes on my page and says blasphemous things or threatens me or whatever, I can report them and block them. And that's what adults do. That's how adults act. But see, this whole thing with liberals and progressives, it has nothing to do with anything other than power and silencing you. And so that's what you're going to see, by the way, from the Pharisees and Sadducees. It has nothing to do with Jesus really breaking God's law like they accuse him. It's about them hating Jesus and wanting to silence him. But again, back in Proverbs 26, the other thing, it might be somebody who needs to be answered. You don't block them, so to speak. They need to be answered, lest they be wise in his own conceit, meaning if you discern that you can say something that will clearly shut this guy up, at least for the moment, then do it. And it doesn't mean he'll not go to the next person and say the same thing, because they will a lot of times. But in that moment, and for anybody witnessing the conversation or the situation, you've dealt with a fool according to his folly, but in one instance you don't talk to them, and another you do. And that's what you have to mature and have discernment and be able to do that. And you keep in mind the motive as we look at the tactics that we're going to see these Pharisees and scribes, lawyers, Sadducees, etc., trying to trap Jesus. Go back to Luke 11 again. It says, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently. That's another thing. This is like people are just coming at you, and they're not interested in a calm, rational discussion. They're just like, blah, 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 blah. And now, if they're doing that, and you do feel like you need to get a word in edgewise, then you have to kind of become vehement too, at least to the point that you get what you need to say said, and then move on. But they were not thoughtful and patient. Now, I can tell you, you can tell yourself this, I can tell myself this from my own experience in my own life. When I wanted to learn, I'd shut up and listen. Amen. And if you told me something and I needed to, I'd check it out and see if what you're saying is true from the scripture or from whatever. And when you're dealing with somebody and they're just vehemently coming at you and they won't sit and think about it, they won't ponder what you're saying, they won't test what you're saying, whether it's true, then you're wasting your time. When a guy is all worked up, you can walk away if you can't get him to settle down. Some just practical advice there. If the guy will not settle down and talk sense, not too long ago, Brother Doug was standing there when some fellow came up after the service and was all worked up over the fact that we don't believe baptism saves. We are baptized because we're saved. Amen. Not in order to be saved. And as we're talking, all I was doing is trying to explain to him some things. He come from a Church of Christ background, and Alexander Campbell, who started that movement, was originally a Baptist, but he became heretical in this thing of being baptized. They try to pretend he didn't start their movement. They try to pretend they're teaching exactly what the Apostle Paul taught, and they're carrying on from the apostles and that sort of thing. So as I was telling historical facts about it, and the conversation went back and forth, he suddenly just started calling me a liar. Does that sound familiar? You're suddenly a liar because you just simply disagree with them and giving them facts that they don't want to accept. And Doug was standing right there, and I said, I'm not a liar. I just said, it's time to go.
That's next to the system.
Yeah. Our security team escorted him out. Why? Because at that point, you know that you're wasting your time. He's not calmly, collectively trying to have a conversation, listen to what you're saying, you know, back and forth. That's how it has to work. So sometimes that's the way it has to work. But look again at verse 53. It says, and to provoke him to speak of many things. In other words, they're looking for ammo, not the truth. There's some people, when you're talking to them, you can say factual things. You can say the truth. You can say it over and over. They're going to ignore that and pick out something you might have said that wasn't exactly right. And that's when you're not dealing with somebody who really is interested in a conversation that will lead to an understanding of the truth. And looking for ammo, of course, I mean, that's the news media, our fake news media in this country. Anytime they're interviewing anyone who's not a liberal or progressive, they are always, they're not interested in facts. They're not interested in news. It's called gotcha questions. And they're always just trying to catch something, just like these guys are with Jesus. Catch something that they can then put in the news to make you look bad.
They're interested in creating it.
Mary?
That's totally what Rick and I have experienced with children's services. Every meeting, every assessment, you know, and then we look at the results later, I'm like, we didn't say that.
Yeah.
You know, trying to fix the crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and your story is told thousands of times over. It's a sad thing. We need people in any kind of government leadership or position who is interested in the truth. I read, what's the lady's name? Rick, before you step, Sidney Powell. Okay, I had to look at your face to remember her name. The Kraken, yeah. Sidney Powell, before this thing happened with the election and everything, she's well known as one of the great attorneys in our country of recent years. And one of the reasons was because she was able to show that the government was hiding information in order to prosecute people who were head of oil companies just so they could get their pound of flesh and victory. So they basically were putting innocent men and women, it was both men and women, in prison. And they were hiding the truth in order to do it. And Sidney Powell was able to get all that brought out in the open. And one guy, it was too late for one of them, he committed suicide in prison. Innocent man. That was our government doing that to people. Listen, I think, you know, the Pharisees are the head of the government in this time. Herod and the Romans basically let them lead and rule over the people as long as they kept things in check. Things got out of hand, the Romans would come in and clean house. Otherwise, they let them rule their own house to a great extent. And it's the same thing we're experiencing here with what Jesus has experienced with the Pharisees. Too many people in leadership don't care about the truth. They don't care about the Constitution. And they don't care about you. And that's why you've got to be wise. And listen, if anybody says what we need is more government control, I think they're insane. I mean, the idea of giving our health care over to the government, yeah, go ahead, and they'll euthanize you at some point. They'll be putting you down like a dog to save money. They're already doing it. It's a shame. So when you answer a guy, but he just jumps to the next thing, insist he acknowledge the point and don't move to the next thing until he does. That's how you... Jesus is going to stick it to him that way several times. And if someone comes up to you and asks you something, and you can, especially if you can tell that they're really not interested in the truth and the facts, then you stick them to that point. Again, Sidney Powell, her book, Sidney Powell's tact was to stick to that point and not move on until they answered. And she was to the point, they were threatening her, threatening her legal firm. They were going to try to destroy them, and she stuck to her guns. And she won, which makes you think, you know, don't quite give up on this election fraud being exposed for what it is, because she's one of them that's fighting to get it out there. So in verse 54, then it says, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth. And that is the tactic of modern cancel culture. And they've done it to people who are even one of them. They've even done it to progressives, gone back and looked in there. And they said, wait a minute, you may be a progressive now, but 7 years ago you told a Polish joke on Twitter. That's what they're doing. Here's an example. This lady is a progressive. And she had gotten a job as a journalist, I believe, at the New York Times. And they looked up a tweet that was 10 years old. And I think she might have been 10 years old when she tweeted it. I mean, how old she looks. And they fired her. And that's been going on in sports and business and everything. You remember this guy, Kurt Schilling? He was working for ESPN. And back in 2016... he posted a trans guy and said he was opposed to men being in women's bathrooms, and ESPN fired him for it. Well, then 2019, when he announced he might run for Congress, they went and I love how they say this: internet digs up Kurt Schilling's bigoted. No, it's liberals and progressives on the internet. I mean, the internet doesn't do anything; it's neutral. Just ridiculous. So progressives and liberals dig up Kurt Schilling's what they call bigoted history. Why? Because he's opposed to men in women's bathrooms and that sort of thing. After Trump said he would be terrific, or it's terrific he may run for Congress. It's like the Trump derangement syndrome kicked in, and they're like, this Trump likes this guy, we must destroy him. Now, any guess as to what happened to him just a few weeks ago? Earlier this year, he announced that AIG, the insurance company, had informed him they were canceling his insurance due to his social media profile. Welcome to communism. This is exactly what the Chinese government does to their people. Famed Boston Red Sox pitcher turned conservative commentator Kurt Schilling said Tuesday, this was back in January 13, by the way, but it was this year, that American International Group, AIG, had canceled his family's insurance plan due to his social media profile. Now, I don't have AIG, but if I did, I would make sure they know I'm canceling, and this is why.
Yeah. Surely, of course, they gave him all his money back, right?
No, they did not. They're not obligated to do that if they just don't cover you from here on out. All for standing against the transgender activists. I'm just telling you, I believe you should stand, but I think you should know what is coming.
Yeah, amen.
You stand up against this stuff, and they're going to come after you hard. So just take a stand, and they will come after you. So again, in verse 54 says that they might accuse him, is how the verse ends. They hate truth, and they love to destroy. They really do. They just, even their own... I was joking about Michael Jackson. Do you remember? The day before he died, they were all attacking him. And some of what they said may have been true. I mean, some of the young actors said he was inappropriate with them. Who was the guy on Home Alone? Yeah, he said that he felt like he was proper with him. So then, but then you have others who came out and said that he was improper. We'll never know. Great White Throne is where we'll find out, you know. But my point, though, is the day before he died, progressives, liberals, all these comedians were just joking and ripping him up one side, down the other. And then he died. Yeah. And suddenly he became Saint Michael. Yes, he's dancing with the angels in heaven and all those kind of headlines. That's how they are. As long as you're alive, man, you are meat. And they eat their own. Then once you're dead, then they'll leave you alone. So look at Psalm 53, 1 to 4. Psalm 53, verse 1 is similar to Psalm 14, 1. It says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt they are, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Now look at this, verse 2 says, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and that did seek God. Now read verses 3 and 4 with me. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. That describes these Pharisees, these scribes and lawyers. It describes the left and their cancel culture in this country. It describes the apostates who are taking over churches and seminaries today. They all have this same thing in common. But what is in store for these enemies of God and His people? Psalm 53, verse 5. Read that with me. There were they in great fear, where no fear was. For God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Don't you think this COVID thing with everybody running around with double masks, even when they're outside walking their dogs and in their cars all by themselves? I mean, it's one thing if you're one of those people who had to take precautions and everything, fine. But you had healthy people in their 20s who wouldn't even step outside for a breath of fresh air. And then they're all running to the vaccination, scared to death. Well, what did it say is going to happen to these people? In great fear where no fear was. They're scared of nothing. Scared of their own shadows, I've heard it.
Isn't there something about the somebody being afraid even
of
a wind-blown leaf?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what you get, the idea you get from these people today. And, of course, there are other examples in the Bible if we had time to run to them all. But this is directly toward all who hate Israel, by the way. As verse 6 says, oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. But as we pointed out, sometimes, even when it's specifically directed toward Israel, comparing Scripture with Scripture, we see that this applies to all God's people in each dispensation. And so it's repeated toward those who hate believers in the last days as well. And this is in Jude. And we're going to close it up here soon. I know went a little longer, got started a little late. But in Jude, right before the book of Revelation, easy way to find it. And there's only one chapter, but to save confusion, I put chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Because we do have new believers, and they don't always know all the things some of you that know everything know. So, in Jude, verses 14 and 15, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. And if you there read verse 15, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So that's talking about everyone against Christ, against his word, against his people in the last days, and it matches what we read in Psalm 53. There's a payday coming. Jesus knows that he is facing off with the very people who will have him killed. You and I, if you don't already know this, next time somebody gets in your face for standing for what's right, you need to understand something. You may be looking at the very same person or people who are going to serve the Antichrist and be turning in Christians to be beheaded for not taking the mark. We are in the last day. If the rapture happened tomorrow, those same people opposing you right now will join with the Antichrist against the 144,000 Jews and believers, tribulation saints, during that time of tribulation.
Amen.
That's how real this is, folks. And just like that, Jesus was looking at the very people who shortly after this are going to be yelling out, "Crucify him!" to have him killed. So we'll pick up with Luke 12 next time. But as the musicians come forward, we're going to sing 506 in your hymn book, and you can turn there. But as you're turning there, I want you to listen. Just a couple more things. We look for a new world where all will be peace, love, and joy in His presence. Amen?
Amen.
Aren't you looking forward to that?
Amen.
But until then, get used to this. Fight, fight, fight. Battle, battle, battle. I mean, heaven's coming, but we're not there yet.
Nope.
And so as the musicians come, I just want to read our last text from John, chapter 14. A great passage. Sadly, a lot of times only people hear this is at funerals. But John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, if you're there, read it with me. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Folks, take that and believe it.
Amen.
And your new versions will tell you it's a compartment or something. Hogwash. It's a mansion.
Amen.
And God isn't hard up and have to get you a compartment. He's got plenty of room, and He's going to have a mansion for each and every one of you. And I believe our pets will be there. You want to fight about that? That's true. Yeah. Thankfully, though, God hasn't promised us to live like the homeless. And so we're going to have a mansion. And I believe what God's Word says. I'm going to take it to the bank. I expect, and listen, I also believe when He says, even the right here and now, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." So we're facing a bad time. It's getting darker by the day. But don't let your heart be troubled. I hope you're saved and you know it, and that you can sing this song with both barrels. Meet me there, page 506. Stand if you can.